All right, Psalm number 101 right there. My text verse is really the entire chapter, okay? Now, the Bible says right there, look at verse number 2. I'm just going to emphasize what I want to. Look at verse 2. It says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. He's saying he's going to walk inside of his house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Now, this verse is talking about people. There are clearly things in this life, in this world, that we should not look at. Now, taking the context of the chapter, this is talking about things that you would look at and things that you would do in private that would be in secret. Now, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. Now, keep your fingers in Psalm 101 because we're going to be coming back and forth to this chapter quite a bit. But go to Matthew chapter number 15. Now, in verse 2, it shows us that the things that David is talking about not looking upon are and the things that he will cut off from him seeing are things that would be done in private when nobody's around, that he could ultimately get away with as far as everything from anybody else seeing what he's doing. He's going to cut these things off. Why? Because he wants to have a perfect heart. Now, look at verse number 18. Not only that, he says that he will cut off the things that are wicked, so that he won't learn any more about them. He says, I will not know a wicked person. Now look at Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So it says right there, Jesus is actually being talked to about from the Pharisees about his disciples not washing before they eat. And he's telling them, it doesn't matter whether you wash your hands before you eat. He's saying what matters and what defiles the man is what goes in the eyes, what goes in the ears, and goes into the heart. That defiles the man, because then it comes out the mouth, and it comes out through actions that you do in your life. Now, go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs 23. Now, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says we should guard our hearts. The way that you guard your heart is you guard what you put in your eyes, and you guard what you put in your ears. If you don't guard what you put in your ears and guard what you put in your eyes, you are not guarding your heart. Now, there are some things that we should never look upon. The Bible says there are things, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Number one is we should never set booze or liquor or drugs before our eyes. Now look at verse number 29. Proverbs 23, 29, it says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look at verse number 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth this color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth at the top of a mast. This right here is a strong warning against drinking and doing drugs. Now, the Bible condemns people from not being sober. Over and over says, be sober, be sober, be sober. And if you want to look at the way our country is becoming the stinking cesspool of filth and wickedness that it's become, point one, it's because our whole society is drunken on a daily basis, starting from birth. They're giving babies and small children, they're doping them up on Ritalin, on all these type of pills. Why? Because kids are being kids. Guess what? They say, well, your kid's excited. Your kid can't pay attention. He's just, you know, he's real excited. He can't sit still. Look, that's all boys. All children have a hard time sitting still. They don't have ADD. It's called being a child. Period. And we get these kids from an early age and we fill them full of drugs. And they get up to when they're 15, 16 years old. And we wonder why they're out smoking dope and doing meth and drinking. Why? It's because they're already high. All their senses are already all messed up. Now right here the Bible says we shouldn't even look at wine. We shouldn't even look at... Look, if you want to justify your drinking, don't do it to me. It's wicked as hell in the sight of God. There's no way you could justify drinking in the sight of God in that verse. That's not just drinking. The Bible says be sober. That's smoking pot. That's drinking booze. That's drinking wine coolers. That's prescription pills. That's doing meth. That's all the above. You wonder why our society has become so violent, why people are so cold and so callous, and why marriages are ending in divorce on a daily basis. The one reason why is because it's a society that's filled with drunkenness. It's completely acceptable. Not only that, it's considered cool. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Go in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. Christians are commanded to be sober. All mind-altering drugs prevent you from being sober. Does God have to specifically make a verse for every single type of drug under the sun? Does he have to have a verse that says, don't smoke weed, don't do methamphetamines, don't do ecstasy, don't do this and that and the other thing? No. He says be sober. He says don't be drunken. What are the effects of being drunk? Your judgment's lost. It says talk about people being like they're on the top of a mast. They sway around, they can't walk right, they can't drive, they're hurting other people. It's from not being sober, whatever's making you not sober. Now look at Isaiah chapter 5. Now, Christians are commanded to be sober. Listen to these verses that I'm going to give you. Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Aged men, that's talking about older men. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. Titus 2:6, that the young men likewise be sober-minded. Look at 1 Timothy. Oh, you don't go there. 1 Timothy 3:11. Even so, their wives must be grave, not slanders, sober, faithful in all things. The Bible's commanding men, women, young and old, to be sober, to be vigilant. And if you're not sober, you're not vigilant. And if you're not sober, you are in sin in the sight of God. The Bible says not to even look at it. We don't talk about keeping yourself a distance from sin. The Bible says not to even look in the direction of drugs and alcohol. Period. Now go, you're Isaiah, look at verse number 11. Isaiah 5:11. Drunken people are always lazy. They always do nothing for God. They're always lazy about the Lord's work. They're always lazy about their secular jobs. Why we have people at our job that are calling in all the time. New guys. Look, when you're new to a job, what's like the number one rule is you just go to work. What's the difference between a new good employee and a bad new employee? The guy that goes to work. I mean, even if you come and you don't even know what you're doing, but you come to work, you're a good new guy. But it doesn't matter how good you are and how much you know, if you don't come to work, you are not a good new employee. And we have people, even at my work, that don't come to work, and the reason why is because they got the brown bottle flu. It's because they're lazy and they're not diligent about going to work because they're drunken on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis. Now look at Isaiah 5. The Bible confirms this. Verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. But the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts. Some of the viol and all this music, they like to get real drunk and blare their stupid, wicked music, their stupid rap music, and just enjoy life, right? Now look at the next verse. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. They don't regard the work of the Lord. They're not getting drunk on Friday night and thinking, tomorrow I'm going to get really hammered tonight and stay up till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And they're not regarding the fact that tomorrow's soul winning. On Saturday nights, they're not getting all drunk and boozed up, regarding the fact that the next day they have to get up and go to church. It says right there, they consider not the operation of his hands, talking about the Lord. It's saying, look, they don't even care about the law. They don't even care what the Bible says. Why? Because they're drunk. And you wonder why our society is just disregarding everything that's good, holy, and acceptable as far as the Bible. It's because we are in a society of drunkenness. Go to Leviticus chapter number 10. Drunkenness is a wicked and ungodly sin. Marijuana is wicked in the sight of God. You say, well, what about medical marijuana? Look, 99.9% of medical people that use marijuana are not using it for medical purposes. Right. Oh, what about medical marijuana? What if I have... You're an idiot. I mean, I've never ever met anybody in my entire life that used marijuana for medicinal purposes that was legit. If it was, do you know where you could go? Do you know where you'd have to go to get marijuana and to get pot and weed? If it was a real prescription drug, do you know where you'd have to go to get it? You'd have to go to a pharmacy. But you don't go to a pharmacy. You go to a stinking drug dealer that's got a sign. That's like saying, well, I take booze for medicinal purposes. Do you go to a pharmacy? No, I just go down to the store. But you got to get the card. They got to say that it's okay for you to get it. Look, anybody knows anybody can walk in there and get that card. They have doctors lined up that they're wicked too. And they'll just give you a card. You can go, my back hurts. You can say all these things that they can't really test for. My back hurts and I want to go. If you go to these, I forgot what they call them, dispensaries, you can walk in there and say, I don't have a card, but I need one. And they will give you a list of doctors that you can go to that are like friendly towards their cause, and just go to one of those doctors and say, I have a backache and I want to use marijuana to medicate it. And they will give you a card that quick. Don't tell me that it's for medicinal purposes. Look, do you think I'm stupid? Do you think that other people are so stupid that they're going to believe what you're saying? Look, the people that smoke weed, the people that drink alcohol are lazy, stinking people, period. They don't keep a job, and they definitely aren't into the work of the Lord. Their hand is as slack concerning the work of the Lord. They're not soul winning. They're not doing anything. Why? Because they're drunken. Because they have a hangover. Because they're always under the influence. Now look at Leviticus chapter 10. The Bible says we should be teaching our children the right paths. We should be teaching our children the right way to walk and the wrong, and to stay away from the wrong way to walk. Now, if you drink or you do drugs, especially in front of your children, shame on you. Period. If you're doing something that's altering your mind and that's messing up your judgment, shame on you. Look at verse number 9. Drink not wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. It's saying right there, going in the tabernacle, going into church, let's say, we should never drink wine or strong drink, even with our children in the house of God. Now look at this. Look at verse number 10. How come? You say wine's okay. Jesus made wine out of water, right? Look, if you really think that Jesus quoted the book of Leviticus many, many times. Do you think that he's going to do something that's contrary to the book of Leviticus, the book of Proverbs, and other places throughout the Bible, and make an alcoholic beverage? So much of it that everybody drank it all up, and he just made more so the party could go on. If you really think that, you're a knucklehead, and you got a lot of problems. You must be under the influence right now if you really think that. Look at verse number 10. That you may put a difference, look at this, between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean. It's saying right there, you keep booze out of the house of God. Why? Because you're making a separation. You're keeping the unholy. What is it talking about that is unholy and unclean according to Leviticus chapter number 10? It's talking about wine. And it's not the taste of the wine. It's not just the color of the wine. It's not the color of the red. That we can't drink anything that's red. It's the fact that it's a mind-altering substance. And when that wine turns red, you know that it's ready to go. You know that it's alcoholic and it's a beverage that the Bible says you shouldn't even look upon. We should set no wicked thing before our eyes. Go to Isaiah chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter number 28. Verse number 1 says, woe unto the crown of pride and to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is as a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Look at verse number 7. But they also have erred through wine. Through strong drink they are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong wine. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in their vision. They stumble in judgment. Look at verse 8. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Again, it's talking about making a separation between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the unholy. He's saying in the houses of people that are drinking, even if they're a preacher or a prophet, it's saying their tables are full of vomit, their tables are full of filth and wickedness. And ain't that the truth? In Proverbs 23, it talks about people and they're being drunk and they have bruises and they're beat up and they don't even remember why they're beaten up. And how does that chapter end? How's that passage end? When I arise, I shall seek it yet again. I can't believe for the life of me why people. Now look, I used to live a worldly life, and I used to do the same type of thing. I don't know why. But you know what? When I started getting some sense and a little bit of Christianity in my life, I stopped doing the things. Look, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. We have people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, on up, years old, and they're still trying to live and get drunk and party down like they're a teenager, like they're some idiot. Like, yo, I'm just going to get drunk. They're just living in the past. And they don't grow up and move on with life. And they, you know what? They get up and it's just like every weekend, they're just getting drunk on Friday, Saturday night. They get drunk on Friday night till late at night. They wake up the next morning. Their brain is hurting. They're dehydrated. They feel horrible all day until they, and as soon as they start feeling better, so they can get down some food and get a couple naps in, what do? They drink more. They do it all over again. And you know what? I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon. Go to Proverbs chapter number 20. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says if you think it's okay to drink wine, if you think it's okay to drink strong drink, if you think it's okay to smoke weed, if you think it's okay to go out and do whatever type of drugs, the Bible says whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. You're lying to yourself. You've been deceived by somebody else. And the Bible says you're not wise. What's the opposite of being wise? Being a fool. You're purposefully damaging your own body, your own senses. Not only that, if you have children, you are teaching other people that are looking up to you. They want to do what you do. They're looking at you as their example. Daddy's their hero. Mama's their hero. They want to be just like daddy. They want to be just like mama. They just want to be just like their big sister or brother. And you're teaching them to do what you're doing, to ruin their lives. I used to work at an addictions program, and I've seen many of people that have ruined their entire lives through drinking and drugs. I sat down and wrote a list one time of all the people that I knew on a personal basis that died from drunk driving or from drunkenness driving, from people hitting them and killing them, whether under the influence of weed. And it was staggering. It was like 20 people. I couldn't believe it until I actually wrote it down and saw it on paper. I was going to come in and just mention their first names. This person, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person. Over and over. It's all these people. Why? And you know what? All the people that killed these people drinking and driving and doing drugs, I guarantee they still do drugs. They still drink. I got a friend of mine that was driving with his drunk girlfriend in 2001 of December. And the car flew off the road going 120 miles an hour. His name was Jake. And he was killed, and my friend Jason that was in the back was in a coma for 6 weeks. Okay? The lady that killed him, she was young. She was only like 18 or 19 or 20 or something like that. They found out she was pregnant with a baby in the hospital. She literally walked, the car flipped going 120. You can only imagine what the car looked like. She walked out of the hospital that night with just scratches, like nothing. Coma, dead. When they had his funeral, look, at the time I drank. And you know what? When they had his funeral, do you know what they did after the funeral? They said, we're all going to go meet up. They rented this big like fellowship hall type thing. And they're going to have kegs there. And they're going to have all this booze there. And they're going to go there and celebrate his life. And you know what? Even then, I wasn't just a complete idiot. I said, no. I said, a friend died in a drunk driving accident. And we're all going to go to this place and get drunk so everybody can drive home drunk? And everybody's like, no, we're all going to take cabs. Yeah, right. You're lying, you're deceived thereby. You're not wise, you're lying to yourself. Everybody's car was gone from the parking lot the next morning. Do you know why everybody's car was gone? Because nobody got a taxi cab. Everybody drove home drunk. The first, they used to have it where on Sundays, like it was illegal to sell booze in Colorado. And the very first Sunday that they made it legal to sell alcohol at liquor stores and convenience stores, you can't buy liquor at a convenience store like you can here. I think you can buy it at a grocery store. You can't do that in Colorado. You actually have to go to like a liquor store. It was a law that the liquor stores had to be closed on Sunday. The first weekend that they made it legal, the first weekend, 1 mile from my house, a drunk driver was driving from a liquor store by my house and he T-boned a car and killed a lady inside the car. Very first, they put it on the front page. Does anybody care? No. They got their rights. They got their rights to go out and kill other people and take advantage of people that are just driving down the road, minding their own business on Sunday? You know, I thought about that. Who was this lady? What are the chances this lady was driving home from church? What are the chances this lady was just driving to her mom's house, to her grandma's house? Who knows what she was doing? She was driving and somebody else that was drunk killed her, and the guy walked away with barely, that's how it always works. The people that are drinking and driving, they're the people, they walk away without a scratch, without being almost most of the time being physically unharmed, and it's the innocent people that are being killed. I've got a bunch of them. Now go in your Bibles to Psalm 101 again. I'll read for you Proverbs 31, verse 4. It says, "It's not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." You know what it's saying? The Bible's being sarcastic. It's saying wine and booze is not for princes and for kings, O Lemuel. He's saying, look, if you want somebody, you want to give wine to somebody, give it to some stinking loser, some stinking derelict, give it to them, let them get all drunk. That's what the Bible's saying. That's not giving you. If you're of a heavy heart, so I'm going to get drunk. If you're of a heavy heart and you're getting drunk, you're going to be filled with sorrow. The Bible says, who has sorrow? That's not a way that people, you don't get happier by getting drunk. You get more emotional, you get more overcome with grief. It's a stupid thing. Look, you'll never one time convince me ever that it's okay ever to even drink one drop of booze. Why? Because you're not even supposed to look at it. You're not even supposed to look at it. If you're not even supposed to look at something, how in the world can you ever justify to me that you're supposed to drink it? You can look at this one thing, but you're not allowed to put it in your mouth but you're allowed to put it in your mouth and swallow it. So it perverts your judgment. That's stupid. Point number two, quit watching the garbage on TV and the internet because it's defiling your mind. Look at verse number three. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Look at this. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Look, the Bible says, I will not know a wicked person. Christianity today says there's no such thing as wicked people. There's just wicked sins that they do. No, the Bible says there are some people that are wicked and they're defiling your mind by doing things that you watch. The shows that are on TV. You know, they always talk about like, you've been brainwashed by a TV. No, you've been brain defiled. Amen. Washing means you've been cleaned. If I wash my child, that means the child is cleaner. Look, when you come to church, you're being brainwashed. When you come and you read the Bible, you're being brainwashed. When you listen to preaching and you're talking about the Bible with somebody else and you're talking about the things of God, that's when you're being brainwashed. When you sit down in front of the television and you sit down in front of that computer and you watch all the garbage that you watch, your mind is being defiled. It's being dirtied. Period. And you wonder why our society has just openly accepted all these fags being married and all this garbage that's being let on in our country? It's because people, Christians, so-called, are going to church one time a week, hearing some stinking watered-down sermon. Their pastor's going to get up in the pulpit today. And do you know what he's going to say? Like the yellow-striped-back coward that he is. Oh, I still believe a marriage is between a man and a woman. The fags believe that. They think it's okay for a man and a woman to be married. Do you know what, though? I'm going to stand behind with the Bible never mentions gay marriage. I'm against gay marriage because that's a public example of this sodomy just be throwing in our faces. I'm going to stand up and say what the Bible says. The Bible says that they should be taken out and stoned to death. They should be rounded up by the police and they should be taken down to the courthouse. Evidence presented, and when they're found guilty, they should be lined up in front of a firing squad and they should be executed. Leviticus 20:13. I don't like that. Well, then you don't like the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Oh, they're just born that way. You know what? The Bible says in Leviticus 20:13 that their blood shall be upon them and they should be stoned to death. If they were born that way today, 2015, that means that they were born that way in Leviticus. That means God is some stinking cruel monster up in heaven that's going around killing people for things that they have no choice over. But you know what? The Bible says what it says. I'm going to stand where God stands. I don't care if 1,000 fags march around our building. If they burn this place down, I don't care if they can send me all the death threats, all the things in my email. They can send it and call my phone every day. I don't care. I'm going to preach what the Word of God says. And you know what? We have people in this church that believe the same. Look. There are people in other churches all around this city and around the world that believe exactly like I believe. But But the problem is they're going to churches where the preacher, he may believe like I believe, but he's afraid. Look, these homos aren't afraid. They got this guy that's supposed to be this hero of athletes, this Bruce Jenner, this freak. He's not afraid to stand up. He mutilated himself to look like an old woman, and he's considered a hero to ESPN. What in the world? Am I crazy? I don't think I'm crazy. I think I'm pretty legit here. I mean, 40 years ago, even the unsaved world would have said, wow, like that's, if we would have told people 40 years ago, Bruce, when is he the, was he the on the Wheaties box? 30 years ago? 40 years ago? What if I would have said, this guy, Bruce Jenner, in 2015 is going to mutilate his own body. He's going to take hormones and have surgery to become a woman. They would have said, you are nuts. No way. I'm telling you what. That's what you get. Go out there and you have your little Kobe Bryants and your LeBron James and your all your little people that you love to worship. And then in 30 years when they start doing ungodliness, you know what? Your kids have had their posters on their walls for years. You're setting yourself up for failure. People have this idea that they can just look and listen to anything. It's not going to be defiled. Point number one of getting the garbage out of your house. Stop watching false prophets on TV and on the internet. Stop watching these false Look, if you know somebody is preaching false doctrine, you say, I know that they're preaching false doctrine. What? It said, I shall set no wicked thing before my. I won't even look at it. Not only that, I hate the work of them that turn aside. These guys that, you say, well, what if you've been listening to somebody and then you find out that they're wrong on salvation? Then you stop listening. But if you know this guy, he's a total false prophet. I just like to watch him because I think it's entertaining. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. Not me. Not me. Now, go to in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 15. Go back there. We should never purposely subject ourselves to people, TV shows, or preachers that are preaching falseness about the Bible. I mean, we need to guard our minds and our hearts, especially our children, from ungodliness. And what is worse? I think this, and I'm going to talk about pornography here in just a minute, but I think that false teaching and teachings about the Bible are worse than that. I mean, you're going to have somebody teach you false things about the Bible, about religion. These movies these TV shows that are coming out, haven't you noticed that there's been this huge like influx of just TV shows and movies that are about the Bible, about Noah, about Exodus, about the Bible, AD, BC. Look, they're all false. They're all wrong. Look, if you want to learn about the Bible, pick up the Word of God and read about the Bible. Come to church and talk about the Bible with other people that read the Bible. If you have questions, you don't go to Google and YouTube it. You come and you ask other people that you know read their Bibles. You put your heads together and you search and you find it out. It's not hard, folks. Read the Bible. The Bible may look like a big book, but when you start reading it, it really, as deep as it, to me it feels like it's small, but it's deep. Does that make sense? I mean, you read through it a lot. I can find my way, navigate, but it's just amazing how the Bible, you can find this new things in it, new truths about old truths all the time. Now look at Matthew 15. These are deal breakers for preachers. If they don't believe in salvations by grace through faith, I don't watch them, period. If they don't believe in the King James Bible is the Word of God, I don't watch them, period. If they don't believe in eternal security, I don't watch them, period. Those are my three. Do you know why? Because if they break one of those three, guess what? They're wrong on so many other things, it's not even funny. Now, lewdness and from TV and internet. Look at verse number 17. Do you not understand, Matthew 15, 17, that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out through the draft? It's saying, look, if you eat something, look, I hate to break it to you folks, but eating non-organic isn't a sin. You know what I mean? If you eat something that's got GMOs in it, it's not a sin because it goes in your belly and comes out the draft. Okay? I thought I might just want to say that, all right? Now, look at verse number 8. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Look at verse number 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That's what it says, right? Now, This list talks about evil thoughts and sins that come from within the heart. The only way things can come from within the heart is by coming in your ears or going in your eyes. There's no other way. You can't feel, I guess if you're blind and you read in Braille, you could probably, you can defile the heart through touch. But let's face it, nobody in here is blind and nobody in here, I don't think, can read Braille or reads it on a regular basis. Therefore, if you guard your eyes and your ears, look, you will, if you can guard these two things, you will keep yourself from being defiled. The Bible says that what you look at is what defiles somebody because it goes in the eyes, it goes in the ears, and it goes down into your heart. Now, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. If you want to live a clean life, you need to guard what goes in the eyes. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You got to say that. The Bible talks about dying daily. That means every day when you wake up, you will say to yourself, look, today I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Why? I don't want my heart to be defiled. I don't want my children's heart to be defiled. I'd rather err on the side of caution and be a little overprotective. And it's funny that the people that always talk about people about you being overprotective are people that just let their children do whatever in the heck they want to. They let their children watch whatever they want. They let the children at the youngest of age have smartphones with unchained internet access and let them do whatever they want. They didn't talk about me being overprotective. I think they're being extremely unprotective. I think that they're bad parents. You're just going to let you. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Period. That's what the Bible says. Now look at this. Things that go in the head, they go straight to the heart, they defile the person. They make the heart dirty. This is talking about saved people. A saved person can live a wicked life. A saved person can do sin. You know, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be like this godly. It's a daily thing where you have to get the sin out of your life. You have to make the choice whether you're going to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What you talk about is based upon what you hear and what you say. I knew these people that I went to church with in Colorado, and they actually went to a church in Phoenix, Arizona before they moved to Colorado. And the pastor there, they were out there doing something, and the pastor like hit his hand. This guy's been a pastor for like 20 years, right? He hit his hand on something, and he goes, and when he hit it, F word came out. Okay? Do you know why this guy don't just cuss in real life. Do you know why it came out? Because he was watching something where it was being said. He was listening to something where it said it. And we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That was just like him showing everybody, not that he's got a filthy mouth. This guy, I guarantee, don't go around cussing with a filthy mouth. But you know what? He's watching people that do. And that which goeth into the heart, that's what defiles the man. Period. Now, I'm going to read to you something here. You know what? There are 168 hours in a week. If you're only at your Bible, if you only have a Bible and it's only open for the 3 hours that you're at church, that means there's 165 hours in the week where you're not reading your Bible. Did you know that the average American spends over 5 hours per day watching TV? 5 hours. At that rate, even if you're not, I can read it. My Bible, usually they're around 1,200, 1,300 pages. I can read about 10 pages an hour, depending on how hard the chapter is, you know, how familiar I am. Like if it's like the chronologies, maybe it's a little bit harder. You know, there's parts of the Bible that are more easy reading than other parts. About 10 pages a day, an hour. 5 hours of reading a day, you'd read the Bible 15 to 20 times a year. That's massive. You'd read the Bible within a month. I mean, every like 3 weeks, you'd read the Bible through cover to cover. Number of violent acts seen on TV by age 18. 150,000 violent acts seen on TV by the age of 18. And people are just shooting people and committing all sorts of violence. Why? Silas, look up here. Number of 30-second TV commercials seen by an average child per year are seen by the child. It just says seen by the child. 16,000 commercials. You realize that just that short clip, it's like, oh, it's just a short, it doesn't really matter, it doesn't make a difference. Do you realize during the Super Bowl, people spend millions of dollars for a 30-second clip? That doesn't matter, it doesn't affect anybody, right? No, it's just, you know, they're wasting, they're blowing their money. No, think about this. Companies spend millions and millions of dollars doing product placement. Do you know what product placement is? That's like this. When you're watching your television and there's a TV show and there just happens to be a guy drinking Ozarka water, it's because Ozarka paid that movie company to have to be... They're walking by and there's just a Pepsi machine in the background. It's not by chance. It's not that where they were filming there's a Pepsi machine. Because if they were filming and there's a Pepsi machine and they didn't either pay Pepsi or Pepsi didn't give them the license to do that, they could be in trouble for even showing that in their movie. It's called product placement. It's just in the background. It's subliminal. Because what goes in your mind, they know. Look, the world knows that what goes in the mind goes in the heart. And it's going to come out. You're like, man, I really want a Pepsi and I have no idea why. I've seen this thing that, you know, they say, oh, it's been disproven. It's not been disproven. The entertainment wants you to think it's been disproven. But it used to be on old movies a long time ago. They were like a reel. I don't know if they still do them like this, but it's like a reel. And just, you couldn't even see it. But there'd just be like popcorn and flash on the reel. And then a soda would flash on the reel. And you wouldn't even see it. But you know what you would do? You'd sit there and you'd think, man, I really want some popcorn. I really want some more soda. And they actually banned it where it's illegal. You can't do that. Why? Because they're moving people and they're making people do things that they're just, it's the way that it is. Percentage of Americans that regularly watch TV while eating dinner is 67%. Two-thirds of Americans don't even talk to each other while they're eating. They just sit down and watch TV while they're eating. Family time, right? You know what? I mean, I grew up in a house where we just watched TV every night. And there was like no talking. I mean, that's what it was. I'm glad that at our house, we don't even have a TV. But we don't, when we sit down, we don't even, sometimes we used to turn up music every once in a while so we can have some music. We don't even do that. We want to sit around and look at each other's faces and talk and discuss things, right? Because we want to grow closer as a family. Look at Matthew 6, verse number 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It's saying if you have darkness coming in your eyes and you're setting wicked things before your face, darkness is what's going to happen. You wonder why our society is completely open up and it's accepted sodomy and wickedness. It's because of TV. It's because of the public school system, just indoctrinating our children, teaching them things that we don't want them to teach them. There are a lot of people that have their kids in school and they probably think, man, I really wish my... I know people that are just totally against the sodomites. They're totally against evolution. They're totally against all this atheism that's being taught there. And all they do is just gripe and complain about it on Facebook. Look at what my daughter bring home. Look at what this and that. Look, man, if you love your child, take your child out of the school. Or shut up about it. To sit there and complain about it and do nothing about it makes no sense. Either be quiet about it or do something about it. Stop it from happening if you really care. Look, Facebook is not a ministry. I'm posting videos on YouTube, on Facebook. That's my ministry. It's not your ministry. That's you just posting things on Facebook. Everybody does that. You know what I mean? It's stupid. Look, the reason I'm against gay marriage is because it's a public display of the mind being defiled in America by the media, by the school system, and by television. It's been completely defiled, and people, Christians, look, when people, I have seen, since on, was it Thursday this happened, or Friday? What was it, Thursday or Friday? All these Christians that post verses from the Bible, they didn't even explain it. They just posted a verse that said, if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with the woman, they have committed abomination and they shall both be put to death. I'm just, you know, Leviticus 20:13, look it up. Leviticus 18:21 through 23, look it up. And they don't even explain it. They just post the verse. Oh, you hateful, you bigot. I've seen people called a racist. Look, being a homo is not a race. It's not an ethnic group. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's ridiculous. And do you know who pipes up the most? Do you know who it is? It's Christians that are trying to go on there and get angry at their Christians getting angry at people for posting Bible verses. The Bible. You know what? They're working for the devil. They're like double agents. They have this form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. Now, go back to Psalm 101. Actually, go to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. You know, I'm sure in America, every Christian is going, especially in these fundamental, and tonight I'm going to talk about fundamental Baptist and Baptist in general. You want to hear about Baptist? You can come back tonight. But you know what? People are going into their churches today. They're walking in on Sunday morning, and they are getting, do you know what they're wanting to see? The gloves came off. The punches have been thrown from the other side. They want to see what their pastor is going to say. And you know what they're going to say? It's still a sin. Oh, okay. Wow, you big brave. You are like just a fiery preacher, right? You know? No, it's got to be defined. It's got to be shown in the Bible. And I'm not trying to steal my thunder from tonight. Look at, you're in Psalm 97. Look at verse number 10. Ye that love the Lord. If you say, I love the Lord. I love God. It says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He that preserveth the souls of his saints, he that delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. We should not just hate, you know, this is a big thing about hating wicked people. I'm all for that. But look, let's face it. There are very little reprobates in this world. The reprobates of this world, it's a very small percentage. There are a lot of saved people. There are a lot of just people that aren't even reprobate, that they're in all sorts of wickedness and all sorts of sin. We should come to a point to where we hate, I shall not set no wicked thing before their eyes. You know, the Bible says, the work of him that turned aside, it talks about him hating it. You have to teach your children not just to abstain from liquor, but to hate booze. Why? Because it's wicked. Because it's a tool of the devil that's trying to get you to be lazy, that's trying to get you thrown in jail, that hopefully the end result is that you kill somebody. That you will murder somebody. And you have to get them to hate it. If they don't hate it, they will try it. They have to look at sinful things and hate it. And say, I have a disdain for that. That is evil and wicked. So when they grow up, they will be able to make choices for themselves and say, you know what? I am not going to drink booze. I'm not going to do this. I hate the effects of it. I hate when I hear about somebody killing somebody in a drunk driving accident. Look, they want to talk about guns killing people. Look, you know how many people die from drunk driving accidents? It's out of control. It's on a whole nother level. You know, they don't want to ban cars. You know, they don't want to illegalize booze. And you can feel however you want to about that, but let's face it. Booze is a lot more murderous and violent. People that drink booze are way more violent than people that carry guns. Even gang members that carry guns, I'm less afraid. If I saw some total gangster thug walking with a gun, if he was sober, I wouldn't be nearly as afraid of him as just some random drunk person behind the wheel. I'd be like, whoa. I'd be like, I'm going to get off the road. I'm going to let this person drive. When you're driving, you see somebody just going about, you're thinking either they're texting and driving, they're looking at their phone, or what if this person, if it's a Friday night, he's drunk. Did you know that, I looked it up, I said in another sermon one time about, like a huge portion of drunk driving murders are done on Friday and Saturday night. That's when people are going out drinking, and people are going out driving around. Go in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 28. Video games. The National Representative Study found out that the average American, 8 years old to 18 years old, plays video games 13 and a half hours per week. That's a lot. And then they're watching TV on top of that. We wonder how come our society has become so violent and callous toward the suffering. We just hear about people being killed and maimed and in America and different parts of the world, and it's like our children and teenagers don't even care. You know why they don't care? It's because they've virtually killed thousands of people. They've virtually seen blood and gore on their Saw movie or whatever movie that they're watching. They're not affected by it. Now, someone sent me an email a few weeks ago that said about the brainwashing thing. And you know what? That's the truth. They are not brainwashing. They are mind defiling. My goal as a pastor is to brainwash, is to wash. The Bible is actually likened unto soap. It's likened unto water. Why? Because it makes you clean. Okay? Now, Exodus 28. Setting no wicked thing before your eyes. Drunkenness. Video games that there's total violence and wickedness. What else did we talk about? TV shows that are just ungodly. False preachers. Watching false preachers for no reason. Looking at nakedness is wickedness. You should not look at another person's nakedness. Now, and this is weird, in 2015, that I actually have to show from the Bible that thighs and breasts are nakedness. Newsflash, I'm going to show you. There's not a Bible verse in the whole Bible. Look, I'm going to show you in the Bible where the Bible says that all these things are nakedness. Look at 1 Thessalonians, Exodus 28, verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches. This is talking about pants. To cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So right there the Bible is saying from your loins to your thighs, this is nakedness. Okay? If you show your thighs, you're naked. If you have on shorts that are showing your thighs, you're naked. If you have on a skirt that's showing your thighs, you're showing your nakedness. That's your thighs. Go to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. And you say, well, those are talking about underwear. Look, there's a lot of guys in here with pants on. Your underwear is not covering your nakedness. It's the pants that are over the top that are covering your nakedness. You know, does that make sense to you? Those are the underwear of the Levites or whatever. No. That's stupid. That's their pants. That's their garment. What the pants looked like back then, we would almost call them like a capri. You know the capris that are like, they're short. They're like a long short or like a real short pant. Okay. like a basketball short, right? That's good. 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 Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. All right. Now, breasts are nakedness. You hear me? Breasts are nakedness. Let me be clear and cut and to the point. Look at verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. Now, his mantle is talking about a jacket. The word mantle can mean a jacket, a coat, or a shirt. If you look in the Bible, the word shirt is never mentioned one time. It's called a mantle. Now look at this right here. Shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He tears off his shirt and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He rents his shirt. He tears his shirt off and says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Why is he saying he's naked? Because his shirt's off. It says nothing about him taking off his pants. He's talking about his shirt. And that's a man. That's saying right there and proving to us that a man should never have his shirt off in public because he's exposing his nakedness. You say, well, I believe different. I've always just swam with my shirt off. Well, that's what the Bible says. Maybe you should change what you believe according to what the Bible says. Go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Is there any other way you can look at that verse? He rent his mantle. And when he did, it was an illustration of God. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. That's what he was saying to God. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 16. Verse 7. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxing great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast, now look at these next three words, naked and bare. Now the reason why they were naked and bare, I'm going to explain to you based upon the next verse. It says in this verse that their hair was grown, and it says that their breasts were grown, is what it's saying. So it's saying like a girl became a full age, is what the illustration is, okay? I mean her hair, now the reason why she was bare is because at first she had no hair. She was bald. She was bare. And it says she was naked because of the next verse. Look at verse number 8. With that in mind, now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee, and behold, thy time was come of love. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. What did he cover? What are the only things it's talking about in verse 7? You're not covering her hair. Her hair's covered because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that the hair has been given to you for a covering. It's talking about covering your top. He covered her top and he covered it with his skirt. Okay? Now it's not talking about like we would talk about like you have on a skirt. Did you know? I'm going to read something for you. I'm going to go back to the English. Okay, I'm not going back to the Greek or the Hebrew. I'm going to go back to the English where the word shirt came from. Now, while I'm going there, you go to Nahum chapter number 3. The Bible says when he walked by, he covered her nakedness with a skirt. Now, if you notice in the Bible, the word skirt, men and women both wear skirts. And it both talks about a woman having a skirt and a man having a skirt. It's not because they're both wearing robes and dresses like you know they want to teach you out there. It's because the word shirt in Middle English, where we get our King James Bible from, it was spelled S-C-Y-R-T-E. Skirt. That's where we get the word shirt from. Middle English, shirt, comes from Old English, skirt, akin to Old Norse language, skirta, S-K-Y-R-T-A, a shirt. The Old English, then it became called a skort, and then a shirt. That's why the word shirt is not in the Bible, because the word shirt had not been invented yet. They called it a skirt. Now, a skirt can also be talking about like the skirting, like the bottom, the border of your garment. But the reason why it talks about men and women both having on a skirt is because men and women both had on shirts. You say, well, that's what kind of shirt? It could be any type of shirt. Imagine if I had you go to my closet and I said, I want you to go get me a shirt. You could come out with multiple types of shirts. You can have a button-up shirt, a polo shirt, a t-shirt, a sweatshirt. Lots of different types of shirts. Apparently, the type of shirt that Job had on was easy enough for him to rip off his body, like Hulk Hogan. You know, he ripped it all the way off. Ah, you know, okay, now, it means that so when he walked by, he saw her nakedness, right, from her grown breasts. He covered her with his skirt. What did he do? Just like if your wife and you were there at home, the two of you, and she was topless, breastfeeding or whatever she's doing. Someone's here. Here, throw this skirt on real quick. You don't put a skirt on over the top of your body. You put a skirt on over the top of your body if it really means a shirt, which is where our word comes from. Is this that hard? Does everybody get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, now look at Nahum chapter 3, verse 5. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness. We're talking about the skirts upon thy face. It's like if I had your shirt flipped up over your face. He said, I have discovered the shirt upon thy face, and I will expose your nakedness. If I picked up your shirt and put it over your face, it's showing your nakedness. And the Bible in Ezekiel 16 and Nahum chapter 3 is talking about the whoredoms of Israel. Because what do whores do? What do prostitutes do? They lift up and they expose their nakedness to anybody that'll pay them a buck. So don't tell me that it's not in the Bible. And look, the rules are in this church, if you are breastfeeding, you need to cover up. Period. You're not going to expose nakedness. Why? Because we're not supposed to set any wicked thing before our eyes. Period. I mean, can anybody else argue the fact that the verse said... Now, let me ask you a question, okay? I believe that women should wear dresses and men should wear pants, and it should not be the other way around. How many verses do we have to prove that? One. I just showed you three, and I've got more that prove that breasts are nakedness. Isn't that the truth? Does anybody see that? Okay. All right, good. Period. You can use any excuse you want to justify showing your nakedness off. Look, common sense says it, that it's nakedness, and then also the Bible says that your breasts are nakedness. Now you say, well, breastfeeding. I want to breastfeed. I just want to just take... Okay. Well, then, I mean, this... If breastfeeding, it's natural. Look, when you take a piss, it's natural too. You know, God made me like this way. Yeah, but I'm going to be discreet. I'm going to go make sure I cover myself. Why? Because I don't want to expose my nakedness to other people. It's like this idea, like we can just be covered up, but we get in this much water, and now we can just completely just undress and expose ourselves, and now it's okay, right? Well, it's like women can just, they have to keep their tops on, but you just put a baby real close to them, and it's like all the laws of biblical physics just evaporated. And now they can just be whatever they want, right? Look, I'm not against public breastfeeding. My wife walks down the aisle at the grocery store breastfeeding. She's walking. Guinevere's pushing the thing. But you know what? She's got on a top. She's got on a cover. Why? Because she's trying to cover up. Modest. Chaste, the Bible says. With my stance about this and with the biblical stance, there's no gray area. It's black and white, my friend. If you're exposing it, it's a sin. If you're not exposing it, you're right. God is not a gray area God. He's a black and white, right, wrong, sin, acceptable type God. Okay? Breasts are taught by the Bible that they're sensual and that they're sexual. Not our American society. The Bible. Let me say this, because let's face it. And I'm not going to get too graphic, but every guy in here likes their wife in that way. That's the way it is. I mean, amen? You know what I'm saying? All right? And you know what? Solomon did too. And Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, Jesus said, in all of his wisdom. Song of Solomon 4:5 says, "Thy two breasts are like unto two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies." Song of Solomon 7:3, "Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins." Verse 7, "Thy stature is like unto a palm tree, and thy breasts are two clusters of grapes." Verse 8, "I said, I will go up into the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples." It's because he was attracted to his wife, her body. Okay? Because it's attractive. You know, you got to think about this. Guys, you know, they always say, you know, I'm not going to end this, but you know what? Let's just cut it off there. That's the Bible. I hate to confuse you with Scripture. And so you take that and you do with that whatever you want. If you're sitting in front of your television and you're exposing your mind and your eyes to nakedness from here to here, you are setting a wicked thing. You're defiling the mind. That means this. I tried to look up TV shows, and just by the names of them, I couldn't figure out what they were. But I didn't want to go searching too deep. I wasn't going to set no wicked thing before my eyes. I was afraid I was going to click on something and something, you know, graphic would come up. But, you know, there's a girl that I know that goes to goes to her pastor's house after church and watches Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars, where they have on like a bikini bottom. Where if a woman was just walking down the street in that, you'd be like, whoa, that lady needs to put on some clothes. And they have on a bikini top. But because they're dancing on national television, everything's just fine, right? Everything's okay. No guy's affected by that, right? Some woman that's like perfectly in shape dancing around in a bikini bottom and a bikini top, right? You're super Christian, right? You can just, you're like, that's not your kryptonite. Come on, man. And you know, hey, if your husband tells you that, don't believe him. You know what I mean? You say, oh, you just have a perverted mind. No, I have the mind of a man. And the Bible says that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 2. Now, all sorts of TV shows. Now, I'm going to list for you something. I want you guys to go in your Bibles. I'm about ready to wrap it up, but to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read off some things to you that will probably make you extremely uncomfortable, as they should. I'm going to give you some statistics on pornography. Okay? Did you know, look at this, 69% of all pay-per-view internet activity is for pornography. 7 out of 10 times something is purchased, a video, movie, or anything is purchased on the internet, 7 out of 10 of them, it's pornography that's being bought. It's not athletic events, it's not boxing, it's not MMA, it's pornography. You know, 9 out of, listen to this, you with young children, did you know that 9 out of 10 boys, 9 out of 10, are exposed to porno before the age of 18? The first exposure to porno among men is 12 years old on average. 12 years old. 71% of teens hide online behavior from their parents. 28% of 16 to 17-year-olds have unintentionally been exposed to porn online, which means they're clicking on something or they're looking at a Facebook pops up, newsfeed pops up, boom, nakedness. On the average, 6 out of 10 girls are exposed before the age of 18. 15% of boys, listen to this, 15% of boys and 9% of girls have been exposed to child, fill in the blank. 32% of boys and 18% of girls have seen men with beasts, men with animals. 32% of boys, that's 3 out of 10. I know this is making you uncomfortable. 69% of boys and 50% of girls have witnessed homo acts on the internet. 51% of male and 32% of female students said they viewed it for the first time in their teenage, before their teenage years, 12 and younger. 64% of college men and 18% of college women spend time on the internet looking at that on an average of once a week. They said this is like a regular thing. 64%. Now, You know that happily married men that would say that they are happily married, are 61% less likely to look at that. Those with teen children are 45% less likely to look at porn. 68% of divorce cases involve one of the parties meeting somebody else that they're not married to through an internet website. They have wicked and ungodly websites. They have one that the whole website is a match, like a match.com thing, but it's only for married people to meet other married people for the sole purpose of committing adultery. What kind of evil and wicked generation do we... God bless America. Right? God bless America, brother. God is still on the throne. Yeah, it's in every other church around here. He's still on the throne, but he's looking down, shaking his head, getting ready to bring fire and brimstone upon this world. 56% of divorce cases involved one party having an obsessive internet interest in pornographic websites. That means 56, that's over half. They got divorced because my husband just can't stop looking at that. Creates mistrust, infidelity. Matthew 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy... Now, it says right there. They've committed adultery already with her in his heart. Means this. He's already planned it out. He's living in a fantasy world. You know what's funny? Is like, there's a guy, it's not funny, like, haha, it's peculiar. We were working on a job yesterday morning, and the homeowner of it, like, came out, and he was talking about some politician looked like one of the guys from To Catch a Predator. You guys know what I'm talking about? Where they catch these men that are trying to date, like, 13 and 14 year old. And you know what the homeowner was telling us, like, he's like, yeah, you know, it's like, it's funny, they always get caught. And like, more than half, they always say, like, it was just a fantasy. It was just a fantasy. You know, they met somebody they thought online was like a 13 year old girl or 13 year old boy. And they said, come over, my parents are gone. And come over to my house. So they get in their car, they drive hundreds and hundreds of miles to go meet this 13, 14 year old. They walk in and it's Dateline. And it's the police waiting for them. And they said, oh, just a fantasy, just a fantasy. Yeah, it's a fantasy. It starts off with evil thoughts. It says they've already committed adultery. They've already carried out the act in their mind, in their heart. They've already planned, this is what I would do. And then they just act out on it. Now look at verse number 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right eye offend thee, right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, than that the whole body be cast into hell. The Bible says if you have a problem looking at something you shouldn't look at, if you have a problem grabbing things that you shouldn't be grabbing at and doing things you shouldn't do, it's better for you to literally pluck out your eye. If you have a problem looking at things on the internet, it's better for you just to throw it in the garbage and get a flip phone. You say, well, what am I going to do? I need the internet. No, you don't need the internet. That's what the Bible says. Oh, I can't live without it. It'd be like cutting off a hand. I know. It's more profitable for thee. Right. Look, every guy likes to hear the sermon about women obeying their husbands and submitting themselves to their husbands, right? Everybody's like, yeah, amen, brother. You know what I mean? You know what? I'm telling you what. They may not be saying it, but I'm telling you what. Every woman in here likes to hear this sermon. Even if they trust their husband. Do you know why? Is because this is something that needs to... You never hear sermons about this. Because purity is something that's very important. And do you know what? It's as uncomfortable as you may be listening to this, it's uncomfortable for me to even read it. You know what I mean? But it's something that has to be said. Why? Because every sin has to be exposed. And this is a sin... What is ruining our society? Drunkenness? Television? The TV? What's ruining our marriages? Why are over 50% of marriages ending in divorce? Because 2/3 of men are watching that. The statistic said that 1 out of 5 just people, men, women, all, regularly, on a regular basis, watch pornography. You know what that means? 1 out of 5 people. Now, the statistics are very much less when it comes to women than men. Which means this. Our church, we have, if a church has 100 people in it, we probably have like 50 or 60 today. out of 100 people, that means statistically, there are probably like almost 20 people. One out of five guys are doing that, are looking at that. And you wonder why even Christians are ending their in divorce. Look, I'm telling you what. Get rid of the internet, get rid of the TV. It's more profitable. Do you love your wife? Do you love your kids? The Bible statistics said that people that have teenage children are less likely to do it. Why? Because they don't want their children to get involved in that. You know, I heard a preacher one time say that. He's like, I would rather give a bottle of booze to a 15-year-old kid than give him a phone with free range to do whatever he wants to look at. Because the things that are done in secret. Now, go back to Psalm 101. Actually, go to Hebrews 13. I'll just read for you Psalm 101. We'll end it with this, conclude. Okay, we shouldn't be setting wicked things before us. What should we be looking at then, Pastor Romero? What should we behold? The Bible says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, that he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. We should be looking at things that are godly, that are biblical, that type of things. We should not be looking at booze that are going to pervert our judgment and alter our mind. We should be looking at things that are going to edify us and make us want to live for God more. Should be looking at things that are going to make us love our wives more, love our children more. Want you to be a better husband, a better father. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. If you're married and you want to do that act, do it with your wife. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. It said again, people with happier marriages. I think a lot of it has to do with the physical. Again, I'm not going to get as more graphic than the Bible gets. They're 67% less likely to do that because they're already being fulfilled in that area. Never even look at drugs or alcohol. If you do, the chances of you being involved in horrible sins are greatly multiplied. Don't be idle. Be busy about something. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Don't become idle. Look, read the Bible more. Turn off the TV. Go in the back of it. Unplug it. Take it. Throw it into the garbage. And say goodbye. When we were little, like we used to, before we started, like really got into, like, you know, nursing, we used to use like bottles and stuff like that. And I remember when the kids, that they'll get them off the bottle when they would start eating food. We do this thing where we'd give them their bottle, their like favorite bottle, and they would go to the trash can. And you'd be like, hey, throw that in the trash can. We're going to throw it away. And they'd throw it in there and say, bye, bye, bottle, bye. And the kid would throw it in there, bye, bye. And they'd be all happy. And then we'd take the trash can, we'd kick it out of the house, and we'd throw it in the garbage, right? And the kid would be like, bye, bottle. And then about like 20 minutes later, reality would set in. What did I do? You know? Throw that thing in the garbage and say, goodbye, television, goodbye, worldliness, goodbye, pornography, goodbye, nakedness, goodbye, false doctrine, goodbye, indoctrination, goodbye, mind of defiling mind machine that it is. Look, again, the TV is not a wicked device. I mean, you could do things with a TV or a computer that are godly. But look, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Just cut it off right at the root. Nip it right in the bud. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for the people of our church.